welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio productions by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience produced at a different location each week. I'm Mark Helpsmeet, your host for Song of the Soul, broadcast via WHYS-LP in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This is a Northern Spirit radio production exploring the spiritual depth and power of music to move our souls. Each week, we journey with our guests to share the songs that have charted their soul's course, and today I am delighted to welcome the singer-songwriter whose song gave me the name and the theme music for this program, Chris Williamson, author of Song of the Soul.
Love.
As you'll hear on today's Song of the Soul, Chris Williamson played a role as one of the prominent voices of feminism and lesbians, including her part in founding the first women's record label. With more than 20 CDs, Chris has been prolific and fertile for many hearts. She joins us by phone from Washington State. Chris, I am so very pleased to have you here for Song of the Soul.
Thank you, Mark. It's my pleasure.
And of course, part of the reason it's my pleasure is because I've been doing Song of the Soul for almost 6 years now, and it's your song, Song of the Soul, that inspired and has been acting as my intro and outro music each week. So thank you so much for that inspiration, and it feels like guidance all these years. And I've always had the sense of all the music of yours I've collected over the years that you've been on a steep, deep spiritual journey. Do you want to mention something about that? I'm sure it's there, and everybody has a spiritual journey of some sort, but yours has struck me as particularly deep.
Oh, thank you. And you said steep at first, and sometimes it is very steep. It is deep, and it is ongoing. I'm pretty sure it's a life's journey. Here we are in this amazing planet, this beautiful place, where people find different things as sacred. And I, maybe because of the way I was raised in, you know, the prairies and mountains of Wyoming and South Dakota and Colorado. And my father was a forest ranger and naturalist of the old school, where actually people received tremendous inspiration from the natural world. And we were not far from it. We were a part of it. And I came out of that world out into cities where people need music so badly. But what matters so much to me is that people take it up, that they learn to write their own feelings, that they start paying attention to their own depth of feeling and follow where it leads them and don't depend on me or anybody to do it for you, but to begin to do it for yourself. Song of the Soul certainly invites us to be a participant in life. These days, as I teach songwriting a lot and invite people to climb on the wheel of life as it turns round and round, and to have, you know, be able to make beauty in the world. My one prayer when I sing, when I perform, is help me make something beautiful tonight.
Well, you do make a lot of beautiful making through your music. What song would you like to start your Song of the Soul out with?
Well, why don't we start with Waterfall? It's the first song on the Changer and the Changed album. And the title of the album, it says the Changer and the Changed, is what I was just talking about, where we are changed, you know, and as Gandhi said, you become the change you wish to see in the world. So you become active in that change. And Waterfall talks about how life itself is like water, all that emotion. Sometimes it's a still pool. Sometimes it's this amazing, fast-flowing stream. So we are a planet that is all about water. And I've always said water is going to be the major environmental issue for this planet. And so I think Waterfall speaks to feeling all right in the world, feeling okay. And the way the chorus rolls out at the end is this joyous underpinning with a sort of reggae underpinning of filling up and spilling over. It's an endless waterfall. And then the job is to spill it over. And singers do that, and that's what I do. It's my job. I'm an Aquarius anyway, so that's my actual job in life, is to pour the waters of life all over people. So that's my job.
Waterfall by Chris Williamson.
Sometimes it takes a rainy day the rain falling all around. Sometimes it takes a rain.
Spilling over like an endless waterfall. The song is Waterfall by Chris Williamson, here with us today for Song of the Soul. And that was off of, I guess, her first big album, but it wasn't actually your first album. Changer and the Changed was maybe your second official release, is that right?
It was preceded by an album that was on Ampex, the Ampex label, which was a major label. And then about 6 months after I signed with them, they decided not to be a label anymore. And then I was just thrown back on the folk pile, which meant that I toured just like I had before that. Nothing had changed for me except that that album was out there. A woman named Meg Christian, who was living in Washington, D.C., was a member of a collective of radical lesbians who were looking for something to do, found that album. She was looking really hard for something that she suspected in her soul was true, that when women made music, women who had a feminist consciousness, a rising awareness of women's place in the world, which is that of the powerful, of powerful human beings in the world. Women are not the weaker sex. They are neither weaker nor stronger, but equal, and deserve equal pay, equal billing, all of that equality we were looking for. It was a rough go in those early years, but she found my album, learned it, played it to women in D.C. So these women had all learned Joanna, which was on the Ampex album, and then Meg did on her album. By the time I got there, I hadn't even been there yet. I started to play. I was doing a concert. This applause broke out as I started to play, and I'd never been there. You know, and I was so startled. I forgot the words, and Meg said them to me and got me back on my feet and then talked to me afterwards, asking me what I thought of this thing she'd invented called women's music. And I really didn't know exactly what she was after there. Was it music for women, by women? Was it about women? She had just begun this amazing search, and in her search had picked up this album of mine and really made a songwriter of me. She acknowledged and honored that. From that point on, I began to turn towards the feminist movement, away from the hippie movement where I'd been very comfortably in Northern California. And I started writing music that began to emerge from that rising philosophical awareness of women's place in the world. And though I wasn't so specific about gender, because honestly, it is one of the last frontiers, I think, but it's not the most interesting part for me in music. I like to write music that'll be medicine for everybody, but there are certain things that appeal to women, and when they first heard my music, women were the ones who were hungry for it. I was doing an interview with these women in D.C., and I suggested that they start their own record company. And then I left town. I didn't want to be a record company. I just wanted to continue being a free spirit in the world. But in that moment, Olivia Records was born, and they did start it and eventually moved to California, where I recorded for them. I was the second album. Meg's was the first. And the great thing about those days is we women gave each other, other women, a chance to play, to learn and grow on the job, in studios, with music. And it just had never happened before. Men ran the whole show, always. It wasn't like that, that information about how to run a board or sing through a mic was arcane. It was all learnable stuff, but had been kept from us as though it belonged only to men. And so we cracked through that feeling. I think we made a difference in the world so that women now, without any thought at all, can climb to the tops of the charts, playing their own instruments, writing all their own songs, recording their own stuff. It's what we hoped.
You're listening to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program bringing you local radio productions of national interest. I'm Mark Helpsmeet, and this is Song of the Soul, a Northern Spirit radio production originating from WHYS-LP, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Today, we're speaking with singer-songwriter Chris Williamson, nationally known voice for the women's movement since the early 1970s. How about giving us some more music to keep your Song of the Soul moving?
Absolutely. Let's go to Song of the Soul, which got born. I was working all up and down the coast of California and driving home after a gig one night by myself in my little red Squareback VW. This song came through completely. It was whole. I'd been reading all the Don Juan books, the Carlos Castaneda books. So I was thinking a lot about being a warrior, being a spiritual warrior, and what that really means. And so that, you can tell, is infused in there. But I almost had nothing to do with this. It was like everything I'd studied up to that point poured itself out. It's a small set of instructions about, are you doing this? Are you doing that? Are you taking care of other people? Are you singing the song of your soul? So it was a small set of instructions from higher power somehow that came rolling through me as I'm driving home. So my job was to remember the entire thing till I got home, turned the key off in the ignition, ran upstairs, ran over to my piano, hit record on my little tape recorder, and caught it. Luckily, I caught that one because it's just been, you know, it's in so many churches. They don't know me or need to know me. This song is out there in the world doing its work apart from me, which is, you can't beat that for a good design.
And the song is, of course, theme song for this program, Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson.
Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Song of the Soul,
and we'll sing this song. tears nor sadness, only a song of the soul.
There it was, the full, uncut version of Song of the Soul. The song is so wonderful, and I know it's transformative and energizing for so many people. Thank you for birthing that song into the world.
I thank whoever sent it, and that I was there to catch it. That I was just a conduit in those moments.
There's one thing about that song that some people may or may not know. The intro that you do to it, which is from a hymn, a really beautiful hymn, what was the background or influence that brought that into your music, into your life?
It was a hymn that I loved as a child growing up in Colorado. We went to this really tiny congregational church that had a woman minister named Gertrude Horn, and she'd give the what was called the lesson, not the sermon. And then she'd ask people, invite people to say what hymn that we should all sing. But I remember riding around on my bike in the summer, just singing that hymn. I love hymns, and that hymnal way of writing, which is also very akin to Emily Dickinson's style. In my lyric writing, I am very fond of that style. And I think it holds really well in people's memories. People can recall hymns quite easily. There's a good rhyme scheme to it. There's a simple, beautiful elegance to it. So it came attached. It just, that was the first entry. It came in my mind. It was open mine eyes that I may see. You know, it's the invocation of the person, whoever sings. It's, you know, head tipped up towards the heavens, asking for, you know, help, for divination, for opening. So the soul can be opened.
Could you tell me a little bit more, Chris, about your religious spiritual path? I mean, evidently congregational, at least, was part of your childhood. And you said you still love hymns, which is not, I think, one of the things that people associate with, for instance, hippies along the way, hymn-singing hippies. Could you talk a little bit about that, your relationship to the religious spiritual world?
I can. On my father's side, run long, long lines of Methodists. Methodists are very good hymn singers. They're known as singing Methodists. On my mother's side are Northern Baptists who have a more rollicking style of singing hymns, and also vaudeville on that side. So I became sort of a combination of vaudeville and Methodism. I'm like a sort of a vaudeville preacher often. And Song of the Soul seems like that to me. I went to church a lot as a kid, but we lived, you know, way out in rural, in mountains, and so Dad would get out the Bible on Sundays, and we'd have parables a lot. And he also was a lay minister. His father was a minister. And his mother, my grandmother, was the daughter of a very famous tent preacher in Ohio. So I come by it naturally, both sides. I just loved always in church. My favorite part was singing in the choir and singing those hymns. And to this day, I'll ask my mother, how was church? And she said, oh, we sang those hymns. And you know, I say, what'd you sing? And we go through it, and we'll sing a little bit of them. I know lots of people who love them. I just think it wasn't, you know, we as hippies turned our backs on all institutions for quite a long time because they had failed us, and we wanted to reinvent ourselves. But I know many, many people from those days who were drawn back into church, drawn back into the beauty of the music. I think, therefore, then those churches are reinvested with a kind of new life, a new sensibility. I'm so grateful to have been given a powerful voice in this world to speak up for others, to point the little deer paths as they go through the forest and say, let's go there. That's the teaching. You teach people how to begin to see the paths in their own lives. You write something like Song of the Soul or something so simple as If I Live, I'll Be Great. I wrote that song in like 2 minutes about being exhausted, but a woman wrote me years later saying it had saved her life in surgery. When she sang it all through surgery, and she was highly anesthetized, but she sang out loud as she was being operated on. And that's the song she sang, so it was useful for her in her life.
So would you like to close with that one? I think that's the last that we have time for today, at least.
That would be great, Mark. Let's close with that. And before we do, I just want to thank you so much for your interest in this, in the subject at large, and just having me be part of it all these years.
It's been a gift to me. We're going to go out with If I Live, I'll Be Great. Chris Williamson has been with us today. Thanks so much, Chris.
You're so welcome.
If I live, I'll be great. So much to give that I can hardly wait. But I know I waited this long, singing my song. Oh, my fate, if I live, I'll be great. So much to give that I can hardly wait. But I know I waited this long, singing my song.
This has been about half of the hour-long interview I did with Chris Williamson. Hear the full program, more stories, and more music at northernspiritradio.org. Again, that's northernspiritradio.org. That's it for Sprouts. You've been listening to a Song of the Soul interview with Cy Khan, hosted by Mark Helpsmeet. Our theme music is Song of the Soul by Chris Williamson. Sprouts is a weekly program produced in collaboration with community radio stations and independent producers across the country, bringing you local radio productions of national interest. The program is coordinated and distributed by Pacifica Radio. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production that you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. I'm Mark Helpsmeet at Northern Spirit Radio in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Thank you for listening, and see you next week on Sprouts.